WTLC AM Indianapolis.
Indy's choice for inspiration and praise.
AM 1310, The Light.
Welcome back to the second half of Afternoons with Amos. I'm Amos Brown. Glad to have you here all this week as we end 11 years with this program and begin our 12th year. We invited in the major candidates who have put their names out there to run for mayor of the 11th largest city in the country, the consolidated city of Indianapolis and Marion County. Monday, we had Larry Vaughn, Democrat. Yesterday, Jocelyn Tandy Adonde, Republican. Tomorrow, Joe Hogsett, Democrat. We invited Chuck Brewer, who is Republican. The response came back from his people, not now. That was their response. But we hold out hope. But you know, the Lord works, because Olgin Williams was scheduled to be on Friday. Chuck Brewer, who said, not now, was scheduled for today. And then when he canceled out, then the President of the United States says, I'm coming on Friday. And then we were able to switch around the deputy mayor to today. So we thank, see, the Lord works. And so Olgin Williams, who is really, of all of the candidates on the Republican side running for office, is the only one that has ever held an elected position, and that is as a member of the IPS school board. He's got a resume two times longer than mine, and because he's been around a while. With that, we welcome Olgin Williams, who's a candidate for the Republican nomination for mayor. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Amos. Thank you.
So why are you running?
I'm running because I think I could do a great job serving the citizens of Indianapolis. I've been very fortunate over the years I've been here to be given the opportunity to work with great people, to serve this community. And in that service, I've learned many things about people, about myself, and some of the needs that people have. I've been very fortunate through Mayor Greg Ballard getting the opportunity to be the deputy mayor for 7 years. Mm-hmm. I look at it like being in an apprentice program. Now I'm ready to go across over to be the journeyman. I watch government work. I watch how the departments work. I watch how the city council work from close at hand. And I've heard the people, being the deputy mayor of neighborhoods, and some of their concerns. I saw the great work we've been able to do. And I also seen some of the things we need to do yet. And I feel like in order to do that, someone needs to be the mayor that had that vision to move forward and to address the needs of the people in the neighborhoods and to work with businesses to make it work.
I usually don't ask a process question with candidates, but in your case, I have to ask a small process question. There's a little piece of paper that people have to fill out to be an official candidate. The deadline to turn in that piece of paper is noon on Friday. As of yesterday, I didn't see your name on the list. Are you in this to win it? Are you going to fill out your paperwork before noon Friday?
I have to do that to be a legitimate candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, in the multitude of council, there is safety. And I feel like I have to have total peace with what I'm doing to make sure that this is the right thing for me, for the city, for my family.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Williams, 37 years of marriage, have to give the green light.
Mm-hmm.
She giving me the green light. And I want to continuously talk to people. There's no rush.
You got till noon Friday.
There's no rush. There's you got plenty of time. You know what I'm saying? And maybe the suspense is exciting for people like yourself.
If you win and are elected, what would you do differently than has not been done the past 7.5 years?
Differently? I'll probably keep some of the same things going on that was successful and address the concerns of quality of life around the people. I would like to go my expertise into the neighborhoods much, much closer to address the needs. I want to connect the business community with the neighborhood community to create those entrepreneurial opportunities, small business opportunities to address the economics of a place like Morris Hill, Martindale Brightwood, to make sure that we can create those businesses and also continuously have meaningful dialogue with our young people and some of their concerns. I believe my experience working with youth, I understand that it takes mentors and youth to work with youth, but it takes examples. But you have to listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
You have to see what their needs are. And as an adult, you have to give them the right direction. But it takes resources to do that. And we have some of the greatest organizations in the city to make a difference. And also, I would look at The issue of crime, of course, continuously see how we can resolve reduction of some of the crime.
Right. 239-1310, 239-1310. Your opportunity to ask Olgin Williams, to ask where he stands on the issues that are important to you for mayor of Indianapolis. You spent about 12 years running Krista Moore House, one of the oldest, if not the oldest, other than Flanner House community centers here in our city. You worked with Westside Community Ministries as a program manager. You worked in the private sector at an oil refinery. You've worked with your hands. You made some mistakes. You've got a history that could be one of those Oprah Winfrey made for TV movies. I would say TV One, but I think he's going to raise the price for a TV One movie. Is what has shaped Olgin Williams, and what would shape a mayor Olgin Williams in terms of your life experiences?
The first thing, of course, I would give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ for being my Savior, because at 23 years old, out of Vietnam, right out of prison, I was a total fool. I had misdirections. And when someone invited me, Ella Paul's invited me to church, I accepted Jesus, and he came in my heart, and I totally turned my life around. And with that turnaround, I began to be more sober in my thinking, mm-hmm. and I began to read and study scriptures, you know, and be a family man, you know. And then Mrs. Christine Lewis invited me to a community meeting to get involved in Hallville Council in Wesco. But with that instructions from the teaching I received out of my church and from great mentors out of the barbershop, Tate's right. Barbershop,
right.
I realized that the greatest thing I could do in this community is try to give back to my community. I could talk about heaven. I could talk about black and white issues. I could talk about politics. But at the end of the day, I can't just talk about it. I got to be about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought going out and helping the seniors and helping Hallville Council pick up the trash and address it would be meaningful. I didn't realize that I would get engaged in such a depth that it would change my life completely. When I did that, I realized that serving people, as the scriptures have said, is what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to be a servant leader, whatever way. And then, of course, I had the blessed opportunity of getting Chris Moore's job and going to the wonderful Morton University,
right.
where Father Bonhamus Harding and Sister James Chillen and Dean Bobby Jean Craig took me under their wings and straightened me out and allowed me to receive my education that enhanced me some more in my ability to serve people. And so I think the things I've learned about what it is to have a disconnect notice when the water man's out in front of the house, to even being able to buy a new car because you have a job. We're here to help people with their problem. But number one, not just so much to help them, but be able to listen to them, to right. empathize, to sympathize, and to suggest and bring resources into their life that can help them get where they want to go.
One other question, and I'm going to let the community, you know, have their say and engage you. The law in Indiana says you only have to live in Indianapolis and Marion County for just 2 years to run for the most important and powerful office that exists.
Right.
So on paper, anybody that's been here 2 years can run.
Yes.
And we've heard earlier from the other candidates the importance of experience and the importance of knowing the town. From your perspective, you're not a native. You're a Tennessee boy like the Mannings.
Same place Glenn Howard came from.
There you go. But you've been here since you were 12 years old. How important, Olgin, is it for the people who are running for mayor, whether they're Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Independent, Green, or what have you, that they really have to know the neighborhoods and understand what, you know, what this town is all about?
I personally think it's very important for people to be, to know the community they're going to serve,
mm-hmm.
know the people they're going to serve, and to know the problems that the people are having that you're serving. And the way you do that, you can read about it, I guess in a book, or you can ask questions about it. But when you experience it for 50-something years, you have a better idea where to go to address the problem. So I think it's so important that you know the city that you're going to serve in the county. How can you do it without knowing that?
239-1310, 239-1310, or send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 37890. Put the word Amos in the keyword, and then you're registered, and then send your text comment. Let's begin today with Evan. Hi there.
Hello, Amos and Algin. I hope you guys and your viewers are having a great day today. I called and I wanted to tell Algin that I support him 110%. I also wanted to tell him about an incident that happened yesterday at the Marion County Republican headquarters. I walked into the headquarters to volunteer for this upcoming mayoral race. However, when I walked in, the guy that I talked to said he read my Facebook and noticed that I supported Algin Williams and kind of just basically said, screw off to me because I supported Algin Williams and not the slated candidate, Chuck Brewer.
Well, I apologize for that. I think the Republican Party won't volunteers, no matter who you support. Perhaps, and I appreciate your support for that. But I'm about serving the community, and the Republican labor, just what it is, a label. Maybe it's part of my platform. But I apologize for that. Don't get disencouraged. Please sign up again or work with your local council person to volunteer or some other a group that would that's in politics. We need men like you. We need people like you to step up, because that's what it's all about. You know, the citizens getting involved.
239, appreciate it, Evan. 239-1310. Back to the phones and Reverend Phillips. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, Amos?
We're fine. What's up?
Steve, you're good to hear from me. Hey, I got a question for Elder Williams.
He's right here.
Okay, Elder Williams, what you think if you get elected? If you get elected, okay, you see the crime is going on now. Okay, I know you live in Hallville. Okay?
What's the question?
What can you do to make a change for Indianapolis? How we can get the crime more down? See, did you got to see? I heard what you said. Yeah, that can be dandy.
All right, that's a basic question. What can you do to get the crime down?
Well, one of the things we would try to do is get people like yourself, Reverend Phillip, to join a crime watch club to help watch for the neighborhood, watch out for their citizen, to have interaction with the police, to be able to communicate the concerns and the needs of the neighborhood. I would encourage men like yourself to get involved in some agency as a volunteer senior citizen program or a community center to give back some kind of way. And also, I encourage you to go on your Facebook pages and tweet to your city county council people your concerns, you know, what's needed on that, and then give your ideas to the mayor's office. And then collaborate and work together as a community to make a difference, you know, and see what the problems are.
I appreciate it. Let me go to Brother Motep at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, Amos?
Fine.
Reverend Algin Williams, how you doing today?
Fine, brother.
All right. You may remember this. A wise man told me that it's kind of crazy to give 92% of your vote to a particular party and get nothing for it. Anyway, I have no problem. Like you said, Republican, Democrat, that's labels. It's mainly about serving the community, ideologies, this, that. They're being a little student of political science. Our people have a problem with that label. I've always said we need people on both sides of the fence, sometime to play that demon against each other. Other groups have mastered this. We have not gotten to do that yet. I don't like 92% going to one party either. I don't see anything going. I don't like what Maggie Lewis and I are doing also. What can you do to get our people to understand that it is just a label, Republican, just like Democrat is, and maybe to look a little deeper and maybe to get more people on the other side so maybe we probably can choke that chicken a little bit better? And I'll listen to you comment off the air. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your concerns. I'm not about labels either, but I think people are voters. That's why we need voters, but we need informed voters. And we need to inform ourselves about the issues, about the concerns we have, the community. It could be a Democrat, a Republican, a Libertarian. As long as they're going to serve the people and do what's right, that's what we want in office. Because there's good people on both sides of the aisle, you know, that want to do the right thing. But we have to inform ourselves. Who's the best candidate? Who addresses your concerns and your issues? And who's going to do the job in the right way? And with trust, with honesty, integrity, dignity, and make sure the budget is balanced.
Let me go back to the phones and Lillian. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Williams.
Hello.
Thank you for taking my call. I would like to ask you this question, please, and then I will hang up and listen for your answer. If you get to be our next mayor, would you try to get rid of the homestead tax? Thank you and bye.
All right. You going to get rid of the homestead tax if you're...
Well, I can't say at this time. I would, of course, we would look at any big changes that impacts a community like that with the RISE Council from the people that know this much better than me, and we would look at it and see how it's going to impact a community first. And I always look at the people that are more challenged than others when it comes concerning finances. And so it's something you look at very closely and do not make a rash decision based off what the power of the big people wanted, the big boys want, but what is going to impact the senior citizen, the downtrodden, the ones that's on a fixed income. So it's something you look at very closely. And that's for me to say, would I get rid of it at this time? It was something we would look at every decision we make, amen, with wife, counsel, and experts, and then bring it to the people, amen, and to get feedback into the council to support it and make it work for everyone.
Back to the phones, and Ron, hi there.
Hey, this is Ron, the former regional director for the Department of Correction. How you doing there, Ogen?
Hey, Ron, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. The retirement's wonderful. I just want to make a comment and endorse Ogen. I've been knowing him over 10 years professionally, and I'm telling you, the man cares about people. He's very business-oriented, and I remember one thing you told me a long time ago. You got to be able to produce fruit, and you have, my brother, for a long time now. So good luck to you, and I hope things go well for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Let me go to Robert at 239-1310. Hi there.
How you doing, Amos and Ogen?
Hi.
What I'd like to ask possibly the mayor, would he make getting the ex-prisoners jobs when they come out, make that one of his top priorities, and to the extent of going to the legislature and trying to persuade some of the people over there to return some money back to Indianapolis in order to get that program, because every ex-prisoner that you can put to work is, in essence, is decreasing crime.
Well, thanks for the question. Yes, well, one, being an ex-fellow myself, I understand the plight of that population, starting having one of the first reentry programs in the city at the Christmas House, being a volunteer chaplain in the prisons and in the jails. I have an idea of what happens. And also, Mayor Ballard started a reentry program in the mayor's office on the 25th floor. We had a director. We worked with it. We had one of the most creative reentry programs in the country, a transitional job program, working with the unions to get young men and women inside the city for jobs for 6 months. And it worked, and a lot of them kept their job because they did a great job. But also we work with the private community to get people into jobs. I think we have to give everyone a chance. You know, the question is, when is the debt paid? And we have to remove that stigma from people, because people make mistakes, and they need a second chance and sometimes a third chance. And we have to make sure that happens. And we got to change some laws and some mindsets that individuals that come out of prison are good people that can be productive. Let me say this right quick. I know it's been long. Some companies won't hire ex-felons.
Right.
They won't hire them. But they still have a theft problem. Cause everybody steal from them and never been in jail. But you give me a man or woman that's been locked up for 5 or 6 years and want to do right, they won't even pick a dime about the floor. Because they don't never want to go back to jail, and they want to prove themselves that they're upstanding citizen now. So we have to give people a second chance.
Let me go back to the phones in Mayhem. Hi there.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, Mr. Williams, if you run, you have my vote. I see you when you got boots on the ground. I see that when we at the gun shows, you over there. And as a matter of fact, I see you everywhere. Like I said, if you run, you got my vote. You're no-nonsense man, and you know what's really going on in this city, and you know the ones that had hyped stuff up to get that free money. So I hope you put them in check.
Thank you.
Let me go back to the phones and Vivian. Hi there. Vivian?
Hi, Amos.
Hi, you're on the air. What's up?
Hi, I wanted to ask Mr. Williams a question.
You're right here.
When you become mayor, which I'm sure you will, you know, because God has said it. Anyway, I was wondering, when you become mayor, will you fire those people that just sit down there and pay for a push and been there for 20-some years and don't do anything? Will you promise to get those out of office?
Well, I can't make a promise. Like, I don't even make a promise to my children. But what I will do is make sure people are accountable for their jobs. When I ran the Christopher House, I had rules and regulations, but I treated everyone fair. Mm-hmm. And you have to do the job you're paid for, because you're still in front of taxpayers then. And so what I'm saying is, if you don't do the job, you probably need to get another job. Now, I can't go in and fire a bunch of people, because sometimes people just need the right instructions or the right SOP to make it work. And we have great people working, you know. So you always have some people that's not going to do their job. So, I could never say that, but we will, whoever the director is over that department, we'll definitely manage that department.
239-1310. Okay. I appreciate it, Lillian. 239-1310. 239-1310 this afternoon's name is Will. Take a break. He's Olgin Williams. He's running for the Republican nomination for mayor of Indianapolis. He probably, knowing Olgin, he's probably filled out the piece of paper and signed it. He just got everybody guessing. Is he coming today? Is he coming with the snow in the afternoon? Is he coming tomorrow? Is he going to wait and be the last person in there at 11:50 on Friday? It's like you trying to do this like Scandal. You got the hashtag. When's Olgin filling out the paperwork? Hashtag.
You will know though, Amy. I'll let you know. All right.
We'll be back. Your opportunity to talk to. We're looking, thinking positive. He is a candidate for mayor of Indianapolis after these.
Hello, this is Councilman Joseph Simpson for District 9, and you're listening to The Afternoon Show with Amos Brown on AM 1310 The Light.
Back to the phones with Olgin Williams, Republican candidate for mayor, and Anonymous. Hi there.
Hi, thank you. Mr. Williams, I do not want marijuana legalized or medical marijuana legalized, and I believe that people who have been convicted of that crime should not be allowed to vote on that issue for some years. What do you think? Please.
Well, thank you for your question. I don't believe in the legalization of marijuana either. I don't know about the people being convicted of the crime. You know, once they paid their debt to society, they probably should have a right to participate in the legal processes of voting and lobbying their council people. When it comes to the medical marijuana, that's something that a doctor has to discuss. And one thing about it, legalization is one thing, but people suffering and need pain relief is something else. So the experts are debating that right now. And of course, it wouldn't be a city issue. It'd be a state issue and a federal issue. And whatever the law would be, we would have to uphold it, of course, according to the Constitution. But I think also that's something that Indiana would be looking at, I believe, in the future, to see what they're going to do.
I appreciate it. Back to the phones in Marva. Hi there. Marva? Marva going once. Marva going twice. Marva lost her place. Let me go to Tom Brown. Hi there.
Hey, what's going on, Amos?
Hey, what's up?
Okay, I put my deputy mayor, Deputy Mayor Olgin Williams.
Dr. Brown.
Yeah, two questions. What is your strategic plan for our community to really get out the vote for May? And two, what can we do as a strategic plan to help in getting people to vote for you? Secondly, what is your strategic plan in the long haul as relate to, economic development in Marion County?
Thank you, Dr. Brown, my former professor, for asking me all those hard questions. I appreciate that. Thank you, Dr. Brown. Well, getting out the vote, one thing I found out that I find that we as Americans have not done well is vote. There's been times, you know, President Obama ran and people got real excited. Local elections sometime, Amos, what is it, 15, 20%? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I hope that my candidacy would excite people. If you vote for me and don't vote for me, get out and vote. Use the process that we as Americans have the right to participate in. Register. Ex-offenders, register. I'm going to knock on doors. I'm going to be campaigning that we need you to get out to vote. Come and vote. And when you vote, vote for Algernon Williams, of course. Mm-hmm. But vote. And you'll find it'll be a wonderful experience voting for Algernon Williams and that this process really works. And I'm going to be the candidate that will listen to you and your concerns. And we have to energize people. You have to make them excited. Make them believe in the process again. Let them know that we can change situations in this country, in this city, in this state, if we vote for the people that we need in the office. Now, I heard Amos talking earlier about voting. We had to get out there and get the people we put our trust in and confidence in. And the only way you're going to do that, you can't talk about it. As the young people say, you got to be about it. So go vote. Economically, the economic plan would be continuously move forward to attract businesses in this community, addressing the concerns of the business community and the community itself. But I love to see more smaller businesses develop in the communities to get that 1, 2, 3 employment opportunities for people, jobs, and also connect the two and continuously give everyone the opportunity at the playing field to make it even. As minorities, women, veterans, people with disabilities, like we've done it already, almost $1 billion worth of opportunities has been given to people, but we got to keep pushing that. But this said, I'll be through. People have to be prepared. Been a small business owner. You got to be prepared. Have your ducks in a row. Get that opportunity.
Appreciate it, Tom. 239-1310. Let me follow up on economic development because this is really more a question for you. It's a question tomorrow for Joe Hogsett. It's a question for Mr. Brewer if he ever comes here. And this came out the first two interviews earlier in the week. And even yesterday when the soccer people were here with Indy 11, there, and you've been out in the neighborhood, told you, there is this deep feeling in many parts of the city that downtown gets all the goodies and the neighborhoods. And it's not just Hallville, Martindale, Brightwood, Far East Side. I think you could say virtually every neighborhood isn't getting even a share of that. If you're elected mayor, first of all, how serious is that reality as you've gone through neighborhoods, that feeling of resentment that downtown gets everything, the neighborhoods don't? And if you're elected mayor, how would you change that reality?
We say get everything. It depends on what you mean by everything, of course.
Okay.
Some things we do get downtown, we need downtown. It's 75,000 service-oriented jobs down there. 75,000 people are working around that infrastructure that would be built through the stadiums, through the stores, star moving, all that stuff. A new transportation center creates jobs. Of course, that's important. Those people that are working go back to these communities. What we have to do is give people an opportunity to create jobs within their community. And you have to support those jobs. If I start a shoe store in a neighborhood, you can't keep on going outside the neighborhood to buy shoes. I'm going to close up. You got to support the grocery store instead of spending $10 in the store and then going and spending $25 in the store where you think the ice is colder. You have to spend that $25 in my store in your neighborhood so I can stay in business. What happens, we don't support the businesses that do come and we bring the infrastructure in. It's simple as a restaurant. I don't like them ribs because they don't. And then the rib place closed up. That's 20 jobs gone. And then you get mad when he goes down to the market and open store. He said, well, downtown getting out now. Reason why? Downtown is spending money. We have to support these businesses to keep them going. And when these businesses do come, then they're not going to build a 25-story building probably in Hallville or Martindale Brightwood or Morris Hill to do something. They may build a one-level factory that house 100 people, but at that time, you got to buy those gadgets and gadgets to make sure they stay in business.
All right, back to the phones in Marva. Hi there. Marva?
Hi, Amos.
You're on the air. What's up?
Hi, Mr. Williams.
Hello.
Honestly, I have basically two comments. First one is about the marijuana. these young folks are as crazy as all get out right now. And if they do legalize marijuana, you can have more going on than what's already going on. And it's going to get worse. And I'm not speaking about the people that really, really need it. I'm talking about making it legal for anybody to get it, which it shouldn't be.
I agree with that.
And the other thing is, I understand and I know that you live in Hallville. Is that correct?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And I'm sure you know all the mess that's going on in Hallville.
All the what?
Mess.
All the mess.
Well, I don't know all the mess. No, I don't know all of it. You know, it's, I know some stuff that goes on.
There's a lot of mess going on in Hallville. Mm-hmm. Illegal as well as legal. And I know you from years and years back when you was at the Crystal Moore house. Mm-hmm. And the thing of it is since all this stuff, I'm pretty sure that no matter what it is, if you do become mayor, you're going to do exactly what they are asking you to do down there because you know if you don't, what's going to happen?
What's going to happen? I don't know that.
Yes, and the other thing is why is it that it's always everybody, they holler about how bad Harvey is, how bad it looks, how bad this is and that is. But then when it comes to people trying to build around here or fix up stuff around here, then they get to the bridge and they stop. They don't want nothing to do with Harvey.
All right. You basically...
So if you do become here, how are they going to make it any better for Harvey? Even the trash people, they don't want to do their job over here.
Mm. All right, let me let the deputy mayor respond. You know, if you're elected mayor, how do you make sure that the city services, you know, get what the taxpayer, the residents expect, whether it's Hallville, whether it's Pike Township, whether it's Perry Township?
It's all over the city. I wouldn't just be the mayor for Hallville. I'll be the mayor for all the city. Yeah, I hold people accountable. The people that you employ. I believe we have great people working for the city. They have supervisors, directors, all up the line, even me. We have to make sure that they're doing their job for the taxpayers. You know, we pay them a certain amount, and we got to monitor what we do. And they do a good job of that. We got great people. We miss some things, of course. We just got to keep on talking. And we got to use that system we have, you know, the Mayor's Action Center, to address these complaints and move quickly on these complaints. With that said, how I try to make Hallville better personally, I live in Hallville. I pick my trash up. I take it out on the proper day. I used to make my kids make sure they didn't throw trash down. And I will help my neighbor take her trash out in the alley to make it better. And I will spend money in my local barbershop on 10th Street to make sure they keep their lights open.
Back to the phones in Karen. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. Hi, Mr. Williams.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. I understand that there are various disenfranchised communities within Indianapolis, but the community goes all the way up to 96th Street before you hit Carmel. And what's really disheartening to me is to see when I shop on 86th or Michigan is the number of, say, grocery carts that are, like, stacked up at the bus stops because I guess people, you know, have groceries. So they take them up there, they leave them there, they're tipped over, and it makes the area look really trashy. And this can be done, I think, my suggestion could be implemented even before you become mayor. How about getting some of these merchants to band together, maybe have a students, after they get off from school, give them a little job, tell them to bring these carts back to their stores so that, you know, if you're talking about bringing business here and you're trying to attract business, nobody wants to see that. I mean, it looks just horrible to me. I said the community goes way beyond Hallville. I shop in Hallville, so I'm not putting it down. But I also shop all the way up to 96th Street, and that is something that can be addressed right now. These merchants know, like Walmart and Lowe's, they know their carts are being stacked up along the edge of the sidewalk. That needs to be cleaned up immediately.
All right, let me let him respond.
All right, thank you for those observations coming in. I tell you what, we can address that now. Let me take this head off and put the other head on for a minute, all right? I'm on my vacation time. So, but if you call 327-3711 and leave me more information about those areas, what you're talking about, I will try to address that quickly. and see what we can do to make a difference. I know this happens. Some people don't have cars, and they do, and I see it. And the local Kroger store that my wife shop at, they used to pay people to pick them up and pick up trucks. I don't know how much they pay them to get them up there. If they still doing that, I don't know. But that's a good observation, and I will kind of address that for you if you call that number and ask for Lori and email us more information. Let me see if I can work on that right now for you.
I appreciate that. Let the record show, Drew, that he went on the taxpayers' clock for 40 seconds to help people down. Now he's going back on vacation. 239-13. That's in case certain people down on Meridian Street are clocking time here. 239-13-10. 239-13-10 is after his name. Let me go back to the phones and with Olgin Williams and Rose. Hi, Rose.
And Mr. Williams.
Hello, Rose.
I've got one thing I want to say first of all. We know nothing about the people who run. Where do you find the guidelines, the requirements, and the way to get in to have these jobs done that the departments are not doing? I notice I live over here on Washington Boulevard. There's transportation going anywhere you want to go, but in the morning, you can't park on your street, and in the evening, you can't park on our street. Because people in town who have the jobs have to get out of here. So it seems very strange to me that we don't have somewhere to find out what the requirements of each of these occupations explain to us how to find the right person to deal with to get things done. I've had numerous calls that I've had to make in the department for our neighborhood, but you never get a response. They cut you off, whoever answered us, and we call you back. And nothing is being done. But I notice everybody keeps talking about what they have to do downtown and what the people with the jobs downtown. But do you know how many of us over here? I'm 82. I don't work anymore. But there's no bus for me to get down to the library. The bus, I have to walk 2.5 to 3 blocks. Either way, doesn't matter which way I go, to get to the bus. So our children who go downtown to the libraries and things, they have to walk out in the weather like that also. There's a lot of concern for the people who come from out of town with the big jobs, but there's no concern for our inner city. Thank you.
All right, let me let the candidate respond.
Well, thank you for the question. Well, Rose, I would love to. I will help you, and it just put me in a case 22 here. That question I would love to be addressed as the deputy mayor. You know, when I'm working and work with you on their concerns. Maybe I wish I could come back and we could talk about that even more. But we do have people in the city, the neighborhood liaisons, that can help you with those questions. And you have a city county council person that represents you well in the community. Let me suggest again, can I do this, Amos? Can they call this number again?
Yeah, go ahead.
327-3711. Leave a message and a phone number, and I have someone to get back with you. This is because A82, whatever we can do for you, I appreciate your quality of life and what you've done in this city. And I call that number, 327-3711. Just leave a message with Lori. I have your local neighborhood liaison get back with you, and they'll look at it a little bit more in depth with you.
Appreciate the call. 239-1310. 239-1310. This afternoon's name is with Olgin Williams, a Republican candidate for mayor. Before we take a break, let me touch on crime briefly. One, I need to let the community know of some breaking news that literally has just broken in the last few minutes. And people have called this show wondering what is happening to the case of that little baby that has been missing since August.
Yes.
Now, IMPD, along with the Marion County Prosecutor's Office, are prepared to take the next step and charge the father in that case with the murder of that baby. Obviously, it's circumstantial because the young child has not yet been found, but I think now the police and prosecutor must believe they have strong enough evidence to prove a case beyond a reasonable doubt, and so the father in that case is being tried. At the same time, Olgin Williams, and I don't want to jinx what has happened, but we have gone many days without any homicide in this city. And we don't want to say that we're, you know, that we're turning a corner, because it could go south. Yes. Tomorrow. But the fact that we're in a lull, good news?
This is good news always, and lives are saved. And one, my heart goes out to the family.
Yeah.
I've been a father of 13 children, 10 living children, and losing a child. That's heartbreaking. With that said, I think some of the things have been put in place by IMPD and the public safety director and Chief Height and the mayor's office are working now. It takes a minute for these things to turn around the corner. And what you're seeing now is some of the great work that has been done, been done by the police department and the community itself. Is making a difference.
They have had IMPD a rash of arrests of people who have allegedly committed homicide. Is that a sign that the message is getting through of the community? See something, say something. It's not snitching. It's making your community better.
I think so. Police can't do it by themselves. They cannot police the communities by themselves. It takes people, citizens, to get involved. Share the information. No one wants a killer in their community. Therefore, tell on the people that you know is doing wrong. When you see that MAC-10 under that mattress, mm-hmm. They used to say in my old days, drop a dime so a life will be spared.
Mm-hmm.
Help these young people make better decisions and support the law enforcement community when they're doing the right thing. And get involved in your crime watch. Get involved in your neighbor association and have dialogue with your neighbor so we can keep one another safe.
239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos. Olgin Williams. We'll take a break. We'll be back with our Many Moments with Olgin Williams, Joe Hogshead tomorrow, and then on Friday, we'll be at Ivy Tech, live coverage of President Barack Obama's speech to Ivy Tech here in Indianapolis. It's Afternoons with Amos after these.
Hello, this is Maggie Lewis, President of the City County Council. And when I want to stay informed, I always listen to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
Back to the phones and Robin. Hi there.
Amos, how are you?
I'm fine. What's up?
Mr. Williams, I have a question. Well, actually, I have two questions, if I could.
Mm-hmm.
The first question is, and Amos, you already touched bases on this as far as the improvements and the things that they're doing downtown. And I understand Mr. Williams answered your questions. But my question refers back to that. Right now, I know that they're in the plans or they're talking about building this water park that's supposed to cost a couple million or $20 million to build this water park.
That's the Tarkington, you're talking about Tarkington Park?
Well, no, downtown. They're talking about doing this park downtown near the city-county building, I believe.
Oh, that's a new one on me.
That's a new one on me, too. Yeah.
A water park?
Well, and I said water park. It may not actually be termed water park,
right.
But they're speaking of doing some type of, it's a sitting area, basically, for near the city county building. And they're proposing, you know, they're in the design stage, and this is supposed to cost some $20 million, is what they've been reporting on the news. My question is, if they're doing all of these improvements, and Mr. Williams, I understand your answer as far as, you know, keeping the business and things downtown. But what about the kids? The kids are looking for somewhere to go. What about the Boys and Girls Club? With this money that they're spending for this $20 million for this sitting area downtown, why not use that money to revitalize the Boys and Girls Clubs? So that these kids can have somewhere to go on the weekends. They don't want the kids downtown. They got to have the kids are looking for somewhere to go. Why not revitalize the Boys and Girls Clubs? Have the clubs open on Saturdays. I've just been on the Internet right before you guys took my call. I've been on the Internet. The Boys and Girls Clubs are only open Monday through Friday till 6 o'clock p.m. That's aftercare program.
I thought the Boys and Girls Club was supposed to be more than that, somewhere for the kids to go. I got other calls waiting, and I'm pressed to time. Let me let the deputy mayor answer.
All right, I'm not familiar with the water park, and I don't mean it may be going on. I don't have insight to everything that happens in this administration, but I agree with you 100%. We need to have these centers, community centers, Boys and Girls Club, open longer. We lost the Boys and Girls Club in Hallville that served 600 young people many years ago. Now, church owned, and my goal is to try to work with entities like that to keep them open. When I was at Christmas House, I kept the doors open to 9 o'clock. It was open 6 days a week, and we had a deluge of young people wanting to come in there, and it worked. I had great instructors. I agree. We need to find creative financing to help support these agencies and to get volunteers in, but yet keep the lights on, make it safe, and let the kids burn all their energy up after they do the homework and come home, go to sleep, and go back to school.
Back to the phones and Anonymous. Hi there. You got about one, you got 1 minute.
Okay, due in our respect, Mr. Olden Williams, I just wanted to say how of what do you depend on to allow you to really make it in office, seeing that if you did a survey, how much does your party really support you, and how much of the party, when they support you, will actually stand behind the things that you plan to do and achieve? Thank you.
Great question.
Well, I'm not looking, the party does what it does. I think great people in the party. One, Mayor Ballard has supported me for 7 years. I appreciate that service also, but I'm looking for citizens, the voters. I'm looking for voters to support me. And I'm going to support them, as simple as that. I think if I work hard, I have 7 years of experience working in city government. I have 20 years working in the community. You know, in other years working in various sectors of the community, I think that I've been able to qualify myself through hard work, dedication, listening, education, amen, and being about what I say I'm going to be about, you know, being trustworthy and honest and having integrity. I believe that people will get behind me. See, it's not just Democrat and Republican, it's both. And I believe having a conversation with everyone can make a difference, because we all in this together.
Let me follow up quickly on an email that I got at praiseindy.com. What would you do to mend the fractured relationship between Democrats and Republicans in the city county council so we can get things done if you're elected?
Talk. Communicate. Respect. I believe dialogue is so important. I know the councilmen, I had no problem going in and play. You know the Amos. I roll, and it's the kids that in the place. We need to communicate, because good ideas come from both sides of the aisle. Mm-hmm. We got to put those ideas together and learn how to make a good plan for everyone in the city. We are all in this together. We all want good streets, safe streets, economic growth. We all want the same thing. Methodology is different sometimes, and we had to come to compromises and agreements on that.
Let me go to CeCe as our last caller with Olden Williams. CeCe, you got 1 minute.
Okay, that's fine. Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Hello, CeCe.
I was wanting to ask a question. I went to a local fish market, black-owned, and ordered dinners. And the fish market, first of all, they charge 9% taxes, and then per dinner they added a hidden 20 cents per dinner onto my bill. And when I questioned that, they said that their registers are already set up to add in this fee. Is that legal?
Is the fee a cooking, a preparation fee?
No. You order, you pay whatever the price of the meal is on the menu, but there's a hidden 20 cents per order fee that they charge you, and you don't know about it unless you look at your, you know,
they should
feel like you've been overcharged, and they said, well, it's already programmed in their register to charge you for the condiments, is what it was for.
They need to clearly spell out what that fee is for. It needs to be set on the menu. It needs to be set on a sign, and that's something that you would need to bring to the attention not only the Better Business Bureau, but of the Indiana Attorney General's Office of Consumer Protection.
Okay, well, that's what I told him I would do, but I wanted to find out if it was legal before I stepped out of there.
It's not good business. I don't know whether it's illegal. It's not good business practices, and that caused somebody else to go to another fish market.
There you go. That's what I would do. I would pick my business up and take it someplace else.
Well, Sherman Putt needs to step up their game then and put the price back down to what it's supposed to be. Thank you. Have a good evening.
One quick question before we ask you our standard closing question. What has your boss's reaction been to you possibly filling out that paper and turning it in by noon Friday?
He was letting him know, that's all. Mary's been very supportive of me in 7 years. I respect him highly. I honor him as being the mayor. And he believes in the process. Mm-hmm. He believes this is America. And like he told me, he felt like it was his time. I feel like it's my time to make this move as we talk right now.
And you are the longest serving top official in the administration. Is that correct?
Greg Wilson, myself, yes.
And you may be, I think Joe Slash has more tenure as a deputy mayor than you do, but you've been creeping on him.
Yes, yeah.
our standard closing question with all candidates, if people want more information about your campaign, how do they get a hold of it?
Well, the email is Olgen, O-L-G-E-N, Williams, W-I-L-L-I-A-M-S, for mayor at gmail.com. Twitter is Olgen, O-L-G-E-N, for I-N-D-Y. Uh-huh. And Facebook is Olgen, O-L-G-E-N, Williams, for mayor.
He is Olgen Williams. He is running for the Republican nomination for mayor of the consolidated city of Indianapolis in Marion County. And it may be, hopefully, by 12 noon Friday, he hands in that piece of paper that he probably already has filled out. He probably got it in his hip pocket, just carrying it around. Olgen Williams, thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.
Thank you, Andrew.